and perhaps return at the end of Perek Sheni to the Hachelek Hashlishi. The Hachelek Hashlishi, Odom Shehisnaheg, Bechol Tzra'e HaTshuva, V'higbir Sechlo Al Ta'avoso. Higbir Sechlo Al Ta'avoso means that he makes his Sechlo prevail against his Taiva. So how does a person try to do that? I mean, we have Sechel and we have Taivas. How does one, you know, affect the outcome in terms of that competition between our Sechel and our Taivas? Highlighting a couple of lines in the Hakdama. Ramchal explains that the toelas of learning Mesilas Hashonim is the constant repetition. Aval ha-toelas yetzir min ha-chazor ola v'ha-hasmada ki yizach v'lo ha-dram ha-eila ha-nishkochen mibnei odom b'teva. A, ki ein divi hachasidus v'nyanei ha-yereva ahava v'tara salev dvarim mutbo'im ba'odam ad shela yitztochu emtsa'im leknosam el yimtzu osam b'nei ha-odam ba'atzim k'gan she yimtzu kol t'no se'im ha-tivyos kashena v'ha-yekitzu ha-ra v'ha-sova v'chol sh'or ha-tnuos ha-chakukos b'tiv'enu el avada she'tzrichim heim le'emtsa'im u'le'tafulos leknos osam. Im lo nistakalnu v'lo iyanu מהי היבה האמיתס ומה ענפיה, איך נקנה עושה ואיך נימולת מן ההבל העולמי המשקח עושה מליבנו. Incredibly important insight and yesod here in the words of Ramchal. So we know b'chol levavcha b'shnei yetzarecha, we know a person that we each have a yetzar tov a yetzar. Okay, so we kind of imagine that. Okay, so the yetzar tov is pulling us to the Beis Medrash, and the yetzar hara has a different agenda. And but Ramchal says that's not the way it is. The Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer Hara function differently. Well, instead of calling Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer Hara, talk about the Seichel and Taiva. Talk about a person's intellectual, spiritual side versus the physical, animalistic side. The physical, the animalistic, is something that a person experiences instinctively, reflexively. Take your favorite flavor of ice cream. Right, so you see that ice cream, so you don't have to make a deliberate decision to. A person naturally experiences the taiva, right? It happens reflexively. It happens instinctively. Masha and Cain, certainly initially. I'm not talking about Gedolei Avodah who achieve very, very high madrigas. Anan b'didan. Masha and Cain, the hashpa'a that the seichel potentially has over us, the Hashbar that the Yetzer HaTov potentially has over us is only when we live reflectively and deliberately. And that's what Ramchal is saying. Im lo nistakalnu v'lo iyanu mahi hayera hamitas umana feho. If we're not focused on it, so then it's not that if a person sort of is neutral, so then, okay, so he's being pulled equally by the Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer Hara. So should I have the extra piece of pizza? So I'll have half a piece. He's been pulled equally by the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. No, that's not the pshat. Says Ramchal, the natural state of affairs is that if a person isn't living reflectively, if a person isn't living deliberately, so efni molit min ha-hevel ha-olomi ha-meshakeach osam libeinu. The natural state of affairs, the default setting, is that a person will be more influenced by his animalistic side than by the spiritual or intellectual side, because the animalistic side, even though ultimately it's certainly the weaker of the two forces, but that's a force which functions instinctively, it functions reflexively, it functions mindlessly. Masha and Cain, the tzad sichli, the tzad ruchani shebo, even though obviously that is the greater and the more powerful of the two forces, but that has to be activated. That doesn't function reflexively. Again, anan b'didan. That doesn't function reflexively. That's when a person is living reflectively and living deliberately. That's what Ramchal said also, that hatoelus yetzim and hachazor lo v'hahasmoda, again, that concerted effort כי יזכו לו הדברים האלה הנשכחים מבני אודם בטבע. No, the natural state of affairs is to be distracted and not focus. The natural state of affairs is that a person is focused on money and taivas and have of a rick, because the tzad behemi shabo functions mindlessly, reflexively, instinctively. So higvis sikhla al tavaso means that the person is making a concerted effort to live reflexively, to live thoughtfully, to live mindfully. And that way, Einachamami, is the taiva still there? Yeah, the taiva is still there. But it's being countered by the fact that the person has perspective on the taiva. That he sees it for what it is, and judges whether or not it's appropriate, the fi hamokom the hazman. Higvis sechol tavaso v'hismid l'chashev nafsha. So here, this commentary paraphrases Hismin l'chashev nafsho, that osa la'atzmo tomid cheshbon nafesh. And some of that is what it means. I mean, it's hard to be medayik when learning in translation. And yitachin ma'od, that is correct. You just wonder whether, additionally, I think, where is it in Sefer Yikud, the pasuk of V'chishav Im Konehu, Mishnas Himachulav? How does that pasuk go? Someone has the whole pasuk? V'chishav Im Konehu, Mishnas Himachulav. From the beginning of the pasuk.
V'chishav Im Konehu Mishnas Hamachro Lo at Shnas Hayovel Vahaya Kesef Mim Karo B'Mispar Shanim Kimes Sochir Yihya Ima.
Okay, so if you want to redeem, that's by a Jew who was sold to a non-Jew. What's the context there? I think it's some conflict type, no?
Huh?
No, not there. I'm sorry?
That seems to be the context.
That's the context, right? Well, if a Jew is sold to a non-Jew and you're redeeming him. So you have to, how do you calculate what the price should be? You calculate by if he was sold for $100,000 for 25 years, so that he was sold at $4,000 a year, so 5 years of a life, so then you should pay $80,000 to redeem him. So v'chishav im means to come to a reckoning with. Right, v'chishav im koneh means you're coming, you're reckoning with the buyer. That's what that means there. So I wonder whether, again, you can't really tell in translation, but whether the Chovos HaLevavos might also have in mind, besides just saying that the person makes a cheshbon nefesh, the Rambam writes as follows. Perakev hechus tshuva halacha beis. Al yavu b'machshavtuch adav zeh she'omim tipshei ha'umos v'rov gomei b'nei Yisrael. שהקדוש ברוך הוא goes על האדם מתחילת ויוסד על צדק הראש. אין הדבר וכן. It shouldn't even be a fleeting thought that there's predetermination. אל כל אדם ואדם בא לי על צדק הראש הבנה או ראשי כי רבם, או חכם או סוכר, או רחמן או אכזרי, או קילי או שוע וכן של כל הדיוס. In our times, you hear a lot that people look to avoid assuming responsibility. So it's very convenient to sort of, you know, blame things on forces beyond one's control. I don't know, was it 20 years ago? I don't know how many years ago it happened. Someone started shooting on the LIRR. And so when he was brought to trial, his defense was that he wasn't responsible because he had this uncontrollable rage about slavery. Slavery hasn't been around since the 1860s. He was just so enraged over slavery, then he had to go kill people who were sitting and drinking their morning coffee on the LIRR. So people like that there is a psychological attractiveness to the belief in, you know, that a person's not responsible for what he does. That way you can do whatever you want and still sleep well at night. Well, party at night is the case, maybe. Ve'ein lo mishe yechfer v'lo goze v'lo mishe moshcho לאחד משני הדרכים, אלא הוא מעצמו מדי תרנותו לאיזו דרך שירצה, הוא שימיהו עומם פי אליה לסייצי הרוס והטוב. כלומר, the Rambam is now going to darshan the sequence of psukim in Eicha. So he begins with the pasuk מפי אליה לסייצי הרוס והטוב. What does that pasuk mean? כלומר, אין הבורי goes על אדם לא להיות טוב, לא להיות רע, whatever good happens in the world, it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed it, it's because we did it. Of our own free will, of our own accord, whatever evil happens in the world, similarly, it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed it. It wasn't that we were puppets and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pulling the strings. It's because because people perpetrated that evil. The Kevin Shekain. Listen now to this next line of Sarabosai. The Kevin Shekain who nimtza zehachote who hifzit atzmo. He destroyed himself. L'fichach ro'i lo livkos u'lekonein. He should cry and he should lament. Al masha osso l'nafsho u'gemola ro'a. So chait, a person inflicts harm upon his nefesh. And then Nachpo said, "Vachenim Nachkor." So I wonder whether v'hismid l'chashem nafsho, besides just meaning again that he makes a cheshbon nefesh, l'chashem nafsho, like he comes to an accounting with his nefesh, the same way v'chishav koneyu is, you know, the negotiation, the accounting is with the owner. Here the accounting is with the nefesh. What do you mean the accounting is with the nefesh? The accounting is with the nefesh. Amasha also the nafsho ugemola ra'a. I know, love, if that's a possible havana here. The yore is boro. Again, the Chavos Avos is continuing describing this again in broad strokes. The tshuva. The various components of a genuine tshuva. So this is an idea that Rabbi Yonah will later elaborate in Shari Tshuva, that integral to the tshuva process is deepening one's Yiras Shamayim. And the simple pshat in that is, maybe we'll do that together with the next phrase, Ubosh Mimenu. That a person has a sense of shame before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yiras Shamayim that he cultivates, the feeling of busha, Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are integral to the tshuva process. Why so? Because, leaving aside, you know, the category of a tinok shenishba v'chadome, on the one hand, every chait is different. It highlights maybe a different shortcoming, a different flaw within the person. But there is a common denominator to every chait. The moshel is as follows. Let's say you have someone who's about to take an exam. And it's very, very important. I don't know, he's applying for admittance to a school, and his life's dreams hinge upon getting accepted, and he's not really adequately prepared, so he decides he's going to cheat. So he rationalizes it. He has his cheating scheme all planned out, and he's going to do it. The other thing is, he comes in and he sees that the proctor, you know, walks over and stands right in front of him. Then he looks around and he sees that there are four cameras and they're all pointing at him, and from every which angle. And whatever he does, you know, he sees the sign, smile. You know, you're on candid camera. And so what happens? He ends up not cheating. He was ready to cheat, and he was going to cheat. But he ends up being inhibited from cheating because the only point in cheating is if you can get away with it. And there's no point in cheating if you're gonna get caught. So the common denominator, no matter what weakness and flaws and character deficits we have, if we had Yiras Shamayim, if we were aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, so then we'd be inhibited from the chait. So every chait, besides its own particular dynamic and its own individual shoresh, there's also a common denominator, which is this inadequacy of Yiras Shamayim and this lack of awareness of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, the tshuva has to include, again, intensifying Yiras Shamayim, and Bosh Mimenu now means that the person has an awareness of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Busha is something a person only experiences in the presence of, right, whoever we're embarrassed from. It's only in that person's presence that we're embarrassed. So Bosh Mimenu, that experience of busha mimenu is grounded in awareness of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, v'heshev alibo godol cheto v'avono v'hikir gedulas mishehimra osav oval devara. So the pshat here is as follows. Thank you. Let's say a person is being somewhat reckless and he spills a cup of hot tea on his friend. Okay. So he apologizes. He apologizes sincerely. But the other thing is, he thinks that, you know, what he did was he spilled some tea, and because of that, you know, his friend's jacket got stained, and you know, now he's going to have to send it to the cleaners, and that's a nuisance. In reality, really, the hot water scalded his friend, and he developed an infection from the burn, and is going to go through a long ordeal to recover from that. So Hagam, that he apologizes, but what he's apologizing for is a shadow, is a pale imitation of what he really did. Right? The tshuva can't be an adequate tshuva unless the tshuva is based on an accurate assessment of the chait. So that's what the Chovas Al-Zvava says, that the chelek hashlishi means that heishev alibel godel chetu v'avona, the person doesn't underestimate his chait. Mitzvos HaTorah are divided into kalos and tamuros. You see that there is a ranking within chatoim, so he doesn't underestimate the chait. And on the other hand, again, a common denominator to every chait is that every chait obviously means going against Devar Hashem, Ritzon Hashem, v'hikya gedulas mishehimra oso v'ova al dvaro. Because all of that, otherwise, it's the tshuva is, he's doing tshuva for whatever he perceives is wrong, and if his perception is superficial, so then to that degree, the tshuva has to be inadequate.